Hope County Sheriff's deputy trained as a medic helps a shooting victim during a domestic violence incident at this home.
You know, when you have those situations like that, it's just always better to just be prepared.
The officer is one of two deputies trained as medics in Hope County.
Plus, polls close in less than half an hour. WREL's team of reporters have complete Super Tuesday coverage.
Here's the system barreling toward us that's set to bring us to soaking. I'm timing out when the rain will be the heaviest and what could be a messy commute.
Then, a street sign honoring a fallen deputy taken down.
It represented the sacrifice that was made on behalf of my son.
Hear why his mother is upset with how the situation was handled. We got a break from the wet weather today, but take a look at this. It is back tomorrow. A 100% chance of rain starts tomorrow morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
Those are pretty high odds, don't you think? Yeah. I'm Dan Haggerty. Thanks for being with us. Check out the live radars. We take a look behind us. A big system, as you see, to our south, moving through Tennessee as well. Georgia, South Carolina, headed right toward us. Meteorologist Mike Mays in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Mike, what do you know?
We're going to have a very wet day tomorrow. The heaviest rain should occur from about 9 a.m. to about 1 o'clock. And all models really point out for a pretty big soaking. Here are in-house future casts showing an inch and a half. The American model about 8/10. The European model about an inch. This just came in. And the NAM model 5600. So the bottom line is we are going to see rain tomorrow. You are going to see rain in your neighborhood. This evening at 7 o'clock, the clouds have thickened back up. Overnight, we do see some rain approaching by daybreak. 3-4 a.m. There could be a little light rain that cruises on by. But it's really during the heart of the commute that rain, real steady rain, sets on in. By 7 o'clock, you can see how widespread it is by 9 o'clock, too. And there's some of the more moderate and heavy rain, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock. By lunchtime, you're stepping out and getting some lunch. You'll run into some rain. The good news is it's not going to last all day. Later in the afternoon and evening for the commute, we see a little bit of a pause in the rain going on. There's 4 o'clock. And by 6 o'clock, there's a little pause. But this is set to move in Wednesday night. I'm going to track that with Futurecast coming up in less than 15 minutes, Dan.
All right, I'll talk to you then. Thank you, Mike.
A deputy saved a woman's life just weeks after receiving EMT training. Hope County has the only sheriff's office in the state where deputies are trained as paramedics. WREL's Gilbert Bays spoke to the deputy whose training has already come in handy.
The call came in as a domestic violence incident. A father had allegedly shot his son, but when deputies arrived, they found another shooting victim.
Things are quiet here on John Brown Road in Hope County, but a bullet hole through the home's front window is a reminder of what happened here Monday night.
Yeah, so when you're dealing with domestic situations, you're involving weapons, being physical, then a result of physical or weapons being involved is always injuries.
That was the case when deputies arrived on scene. 70-year-old Jerome Johnson is accused of shooting his son. He was transported to the hospital where he later died. And while investigating the scene of the crime, Deputy Lee Black, who is a deputy trained as a medic, examined the victim's stepmother, who was also shot.
He actually had a through and through bullet wound in the lower palm of her hand.
Deputy Black was able to help stop the bleeding and calm the victim down until she could be transported to the hospital. We're told there were no other medical units available to assist the officer at that location. The officer's training as a medic was crucial at the scene. He's already had to perform as a deputy medic on several occasions.
That in a similar situation, if we arrive on scene and I get there first and we've got someone with a substantial injury, I can progress into the advanced life support care.
So this isn't the first time that Deputy Black had to use his medical training. He's told me he's done it at least 6 times since he's joined the force. In Hope County, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Amazing work there. We are now under 30 minutes away as you take a look at the countdown from the polls closing for the North Carolina primary election. Then the ballots will start to be counted. The results will start coming in shortly after.
All day, we have seen people showing up to their polling locations. Even the candidates made appearances. It's the story for North Carolina and 14 other states. Governors, senators, representatives, and of course, the presidential race all on the ballot nationwide.
Now, let's quickly walk you through one of the biggest races here in North Carolina, the race for governor. 5 Democratic candidates, 3 Republican candidates. The expectation is that Attorney General Josh Stein will win that Democratic nomination and Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson will win the GOP nom.
Eric Miller is at Stein's watch party. Aaron Thomas is at Robinson's. Let's start with Eric Miller in Raleigh. Eric, what's the feeling in the room tonight?
Well, Ashley, you can see here in Raleigh, the banners are up and the stage is set for Democratic leaders and candidates. And you look over here, just the last couple of minutes, things have started to get busy at this venue here off Maywood Avenue, but still no sign of that front runner for the Democratic nomination for governor, Josh Stein. Now, you take a look at this video here, you can see Stein has had a very busy day today. He's been out greeting voters in both Johnston County as well as Durham counties. Stein has had a commanding lead in the polls over the other four candidates in this race. That includes former North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Mike Morgan. Stein, of course, grew up in Chapel Hill before eventually winning a seat in the state Senate and then the Attorney General's office. He's hoping a victory tonight will catapult him onto another victory in November, but polls in that case, looking at a hypothetical matchup between Stein and Robinson, have predicted a very close race there, much likely to be harder fought than what supporters here tonight are hoping is an easy victory for Stein. Back to you.
Eric Miller reporting live in Raleigh. Thank you.
Let's send things over to Aaron Thomas now. He is at the Republican front runner Mark Robinson's watch party in Greensboro. Aaron?
That is correct, and you can actually hear how lively it is. Supporters of Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson just filed into the Corey Convention Center within the past 30 minutes, many of them enjoying dinner at this moment. The stage is set for Mark Robinson to deliver his remarks following the outcome of the election. Now, earlier today, the Lieutenant Governor actually stopped by a polling place in Randolph County. There, he told reporters how energized and confident he is going into this election, waiting for those results. When it comes to what North Carolinians care about, he says that it's the economy as well as education. I had the chance to speak with a supporter in this crowd today. She's from Raleigh. She says that she's confident that Mark Robinson is the person to handle those issues that we just highlighted. Now, opponents of Robinson, they argue at some of the remarks that he's made in the past, and DeVario has actually covered when it comes to LGBTQ plus issues, reproductive rights issues, and what's taught in public schools. He is currently the GOP front runner going against State Treasurer Dale Falwell and businessman attorney Bill Graham. Now, if he wins his GOP nomination, that would make Mark Robinson the first ever black person to be nominated for governor across any party here in the state of North Carolina. Dan?
Could be a historic night in that regard. Aaron Thomas reporting live in Greensboro. Thank you to Aaron. So coming up, our Super Tuesday coverage will continue. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie will join me to break down the biggest U.S. House races in our area. That is just 7 minutes away. Charges against a Raleigh man accused of sexually abusing a child at his church have been dismissed. Kenneth Newcomer was accused of taking indecent liberties with a child at his church, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Court documents show that all charges were dismissed on March 1st at the victim's request.
Records show PCBs were found outside of NC State's Poe Hall in 2018. The building was closed this past November after PCBs were found inside. The 2018 testing found high levels of the cancer-causing chemicals in caulk on the exterior of the building, but it doesn't appear that any follow-up testing was done inside. The university said this was part of a waterproofing project and is standard procedure when doing renovations on buildings this old. A sign to honor a fallen deputy taken down without notice. Tonight, that deputy's mother wants answers as she addresses the town board where that sign was located. WRL's Heidi Kirk spoke with the deputy's mother, who says disappointment drove her to address commissioners face on.
Deputy David Manning's mother remembers the day that the town of Pine Tops renamed Southwest First Street to honor her son after he died in the line of duty in 2018. She remembers it as one of the happiest days of her life since her son's death. And that's why when she drove by here last week and noticed that that sign had been removed, she was devastated.
Next week, it will be 6 years since Deshina Manning lost her son, David. He died trying to stop a suspected drunk driver as a deputy for the Edgecombe County Sheriff's Department.
David told me at the age of 9 that if and when that time came, if something would ever to happen to him, he wanted to leave a legacy.
Manning says she considered his legacy fulfilled when his hometown of Pine Tops installed a sign with his name on it.
It was so humbling, but at the same time, I was so proud to know that he was stepping into his purpose.
It's a feeling she says vanished when she noticed the sign was gone with no notice that it would be removed.
Had we been notified and not found out the way that we did, It would have been a different situation.
WRAL brought her concerns to the mayor, who says a public hearing in November determined the name would be changed after citizens addressed a chain of mail delivery issues. The mayor says the name was never formally changed in the post office's system due to a clerical error, and the name is too long to be inputted into the system today. The mayor says she does have one regret.
The policy that we have in place does not require us to notify. In this instance, should we have? Would have been better if we did, but we didn't.
Manning hopes at tonight's meeting they'll be able to find a common ground and another way to honor her son.
That sign represented more than just a name.
Heidi Kirk, WRL News, Pine Tops.
And the Pine Tops mayor says she expects the Board of Commissioners to find another way to honor David Manning in place of the sign.
A ballot counting begins in just a few minutes. WRL Super Tuesday coverage continues next. We're taking a look at some of the most competitive U.S. House races in our area and how they could change the political landscape in Washington.
Then we are less than a week away from legalized online sports gambling. Why health experts say the group most affected by problem gambling, college-age men.
Well, here we are, just about 15 more minutes until the polls close and the ballot counting begins. North Carolina is one of the 15 states with a primary election on this Super Tuesday, several of them to talk about. We've talked about the governor's race, of course, but we want to focus on some U.S. House races. The districts have changed quite a bit, and so has the political landscape. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joining me now to go through a couple of these races. It's going to be an interesting night. Let's start quickly in District 2. This is kind of a slam dunk, of course, for Deborah Ross on the Democratic side.
Challenger. Michael Camaro is our challenger. But she is expected to be the winner.
Right. As far as the Republican side, how do you think?
The Republican side, well, that's a good question. Alan Swain has run before. Republican Eugene Douglas and Robert Vergara, we don't know a whole lot about. They're going to have a really uphill battle here in Raleigh because this district has basically been made to be about 70-80% Democratic. Mm-hmm. So a Republican going up for this is probably not going to win the seat, but it's good that one's running.
Another district, Don Davis's, District 1, that's been heavily Democrat for a really long time as we take a look at the Republican the primary there. This is one we've seen a lot of ads on our TVs.
We
for these
certainly days. Have. And so Lori Buckhout is a political newcomer to North Carolina. She has run a pretty expensive ad campaign. You've seen a lot of her ads, I suspect. Sandy Smith has run for this seat two times in the past. She's kind of a Republican regular kind of person. Everybody knows Sandy Smith in that district. So this is going to be interesting to see money versus sort of brand name recognition. As you mentioned, Don Davis is the Democratic nominee here. But, this is going to be anybody's guess. This is about the only competitive district in this entire state. When lawmakers redrew the districts back last year, they basically took what had been 7-7 and made it 10-3-1. Mm-hmm. And this is the one. So this could go either way.
I've seen a lot of reporting saying that the Democrats are ready to throw a lot of money into this race when Don Davis is challenged by one of the two people on the screen.
Here. I bet the Republicans are too.
Right, probably right. So as we take a look at another one of the districts that really has made a lot of headlines, and this is District 13. This is one that was new, and then it was drawn new, and then it was redrawn yet again.
Yes.
Wiley Nickel represented there. He decided not to run here. As we take a look at a very crowded field on the Republican ticket.
Huge. Well, the first thing we want to mention is, if this sounds familiar, 13, it used to be the bottom half of Wake County and then this area here. Right. But what they did is they cut a bunch of the Democrats out of it and they moved all the way up the border. You can see along the edge of Wake County up here to the north. So it's like a big backward C, and that made it a whole lot more Republican, which is why there's so much interest from Republicans in this seat. Brad Knott is one of the favorites for this. You've probably seen some of his ads on TV along with Chris Baker, David Dixon. Other favorites for this seat include Kelly Daughtry and Devan Barber. But they finished 2-3 in 2022 behind Beau Hines. Right. And then Fred Von Cannon, which we just flashed by up there, another very well-known name in this race, but as it's 14 candidates, really. It could be anybody's guess.
And we will pay very close attention. So here we are, about 15 minutes, a little less than now, for the polls to close. Then those ballots will start being counted. We do want to make a point that typically we get some early voting numbers in right as soon as the polls close. That's not the case this year.
It's not, and that is because of, not nefarious, right? It's because of a change that lawmakers made last year. And so it used to be that elections officials during the day on Tuesday could sort of tally up all those early voting counts, right, that we did for the last 2.5 weeks. And then they could have that ready to go and just push the button at 7:30. They're not allowed to do that anymore. They have to wait until after the polls close to start processing all those votes. That was 670,000 early votes statewide. So that's quite a bit. And each county is going to have to do it. So it's going to be an extra probably 30 to 90 minutes.
Laura's going to continue to help us understand the process, the things that are new this year, all what we are expecting to see and what might change throughout the evening. WRAL is your Super Tuesday election night headquarters. We will have the fastest results as they are counted on WRAL TV, WRAL.com, and the WRAL News app. Look for updates every 30 minutes after the polls close on WRAL News Plus. For national coverage, NBC News will have a full wrap of the results at 10 p.m. on WRAL. On our team, we'll have you covered with all the local races at 10 p.m. on Fox 50. Then at 11, WRAL will have all the big races from here and across the country.
It's going to be a long night. North Carolina, less than a week away from legal online sports gambling. There's some fun to be had, but you should still be careful. Health experts tell WRAL young adult men, especially those in college, are most at risk of developing addictive behaviors. A psychology teacher from UNC explains at that age, the reward center and decision-making parts of the brain are not yet fully developed.
The part of the brain that tells them maybe this is not the best idea, or let's think about inhibiting our initial impulses, let's think about exerting some self-control, that's still relatively immature. So you have kind of this drive to seek out reward, less immature kind of top-down control of that process.
Feeling restless or irritable when you can't gamble and the inability to stop gambling are key signs of gambling addiction. If you or a loved one may need some support, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER. You know, about 2-3% of Americans are considered to have mild or moderate gambling problems. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but tomorrow I'm going to put that into context. We will hear from the folks who will be monitoring your sports betting behavior very closely, all in an effort to help. Join us this time tomorrow here on WRAL at 7. Let's send things over to meteorologist Mike Mason, the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Okay, we've got some very serious stuff behind you there, Mike.
Yeah, we have severe weather awareness going on this week, and tomorrow is the statewide tornado drill, and despite there being rain in the forecast, the drill is going to happen tomorrow. There's no severe weather in the forecast. It will take place tomorrow morning at 9:30. You might want to review your plan with your family tonight or tomorrow just to let them know where they need to go in case there's a tornado heading toward your neighborhood. If your kids are home alone, they need to know where to go. And when they're at school tomorrow, they'll likely discuss that in their classrooms. If you hear sirens tomorrow, there's no tornado. It may look nasty out with the rain, but it's just a drill, and that takes place at 9:30 tomorrow morning. The only severe weather threat far to the south in Florida and off to the west in Texas, it's a level one threat. That light shade in green, which you'll see quite often, is what we call our general thunderstorm category. Thunderstorms are possible, but they're not likely to be severe, and it's probably just a small chance that we could see a thunderstorm tomorrow. It's primarily just going to be a cool rain. Out there right now, the clouds are increasing. Apex is quiet. It's a pleasant evening. Fayetteville looking pretty good. Chapel Hill too. Sanford, there's no rain in the area. No rain tonight until early tomorrow morning, maybe 3 or 4 a.m. And temperatures are comfortable. It was 74 in Fayetteville earlier today, 66 now, 62 in Raleigh after 67. The clouds never really cleared enough to allow enough sunshine to propel us up into the 70s. Quite disappointing. I was looking forward to the 70s. Out there tonight by 11 o'clock, we're 58. By 3 a.m., some light rain in the area. And really, the rain gets going during the morning commute. 7 and 8 a.m. could be quite wet. Elizabeth will outline that on the live dual Doppler 5000 radar tomorrow. So it's 100% chance of rain from 9 o'clock till about 1 o'clock. The afternoon and evening commute likely to be be dry, the chance for rain really drops off. And you'll see that here on Futurecast. Tomorrow morning at 6, temperatures running in the 50s. It's overcast. The rain quickly piles in. By 9 o'clock, it's quite widespread. That's where you get that 100% chance of rain. And some of this could be heavy, and it's all moving up toward the north. By the time we get to lunchtime, it's likely to be wet across the area. Not likely to have much work done outside tomorrow. If you're working landscaping or construction outside, you might have to have some kind of indoor work to do tomorrow. By 3 o'clock, the rain's breaking up. By 5, 6, 7 o'clock, notice there's a hole, very little going on other than cloud cover. And then there's this second batch off to the west that moves in 10, 11, 12 o'clock, likely lasts through 3 and 4 a.m. This is another round that could be quite heavy too. By 3 a.m., still some of that left over. And when we wake up Thursday morning, it looks like it'll end up being dry. So overnight, the clouds thicken up, rain toward daybreak, 50s for lows, and then it's just going to be plain wet tomorrow. Have your heavy-duty rain gear with you. Not going to be much of a windy day, so it's not going to be a wind-driven rain. 70 on Thursday, 66 Friday, another batch of rain on Saturday, maybe an isolated thunderstorm. Again, we have the chime change this weekend, and then 3 days with plenty of sunshine. I think we really deserve that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. A group in Goldsboro believes helping others is the best way to help yourself. Up next, recovering addicts and people recently released from prison restore a home so someone else can find it. You wouldn't know it, but this house in Goldsboro was once deemed unlivable. The group Hope Restorations transformed it. They help people recovering from addiction and people who were recently incarcerated.
Those are the people who helped renovate this house. The group's founder tells WREL that many of the people who participate just find meaning in a project that helps others.
It's a powerful thing for someone to realize, I've got value. My community needs me to do the best and clean my life up and do something good. And if someone can ever see that about themselves, that's over half the battle.
What a great message. Mm-hmm. This house now is on the market. It's on the market as affordable housing. Hope Restoration aims to do even more projects in Wayne County. I hope they're successful. Thank you for making WREL your choice for local news.
Polls close in less than 5 minutes. That is when our special coverage begins over on WREL News Plus with live updates every half hour.
Be with us for those. Also, our team will continue following results at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. We will, of course, see you then.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.